Good morning. Okay, page Lamed Ches, paragraph Yud Tet, exactly where the post-it notes are. I know because I moved them myself. Okay. We're on Daf Sadi Aleph Amud Beis in the Gemara. And in the original Ein Yaakov, we're up to paragraph Kuf Lamed Hei. Reish Lakish Rami, Reish Lakish inquired about a contradiction between two psukim, or presented a contradiction between two psukim. Ketiv, it says in Yirmiyah Lamed Aleph Pasuk Zayin, Bam Iver Upiseach Harav Yilat Yachdav. Among them will be the blind and the lame, the pregnant, and the one who has given birth together. Uchtiv, and it says in Yishaya Lamed Hei Pasuk Vav, Az Yedaleg Ka'ayal Pisach V'Tarod Lashoni Lame. Then the lame one will skip like a gazelle, and the tongue of the mute one will sing. Ki Nivka'u B'Midbar Mayim V'Nachalim Barava. Because water will flow in the desert, and rivers in the wilderness. So, seems to be a contradiction. One pasuk suggests that in the future there will be lame and blind people. Another pasuk says that the lame people will skip like gazelles. So he answered. So it's a contradiction, and he answered, "Hakitzad? How so? Omdim b'mumam mitrapim. They will get up with their blemishes, and then they will be healed." This is consistent with Gemara that we saw before that said exactly the same thing, that the time of Tchias HaMesim, the people will get up with their blemishes and then will be healed. The Marsha here gives a reason for this. It says it's to make the miracle bigger, to increase the visibility of the miracle. You'll know, oh, this person who used to be lame, now he'll get up and then he won't be lame. The Eitz Yosef says that it's so that Rishayim will not say these are different people. I remember Shmerel. He was lame. This guy looks like Shmerel, but he's not lame. He must not be Shmerel. Good question. So you see that there will be Rishayim at Tchias HaMesim. So there are a couple of possibilities for who these Rishayim are. One, if you learn that Tchias HaMesim will happen, let's say at the beginning of the days of Mashiach, so there, you know, if Mashiach comes tomorrow, there's still going to be Rishayim around. Tchias HaMesim happens tomorrow. There are Rishayim today. Presumably, there will be Rishayim tomorrow. Another possibility is that we've said that Rishayim will also get up at Tchias HaMesim so that they could see that there was Tchias HaMesim, and then they'll be gone. They won't enjoy it. But the people who deny Tchias HaMesim, and I said before, I don't remember who said this, but I saw this many years ago. I think it's a Marsha somewhere, but I've not been able to find it. The people deny Tchias HaMesim. If they don't see Tchias HaMesim, they'll say, wherever they are, they'll say, I was right, there's no Tchias HaMesim. So they have to get up to see Tchias HaMesim so that they'll know they were wrong.
You won't see it.
Right, exactly. Then we saw that Barbanel said, Barbanel said that even the great Rishayim of history, of the Goyim, that will get up at Tchias HaMesim so that they will see how wrong they were. Mm-hmm. So choose any of those or all of those could be the Rishayim referred to here. But in order to answer the cynics who say, that's not Shmerel, I remember Shmerel, and you know that's not what he looked like, so therefore Shmerel will get up the way people remember him, and then he will be healed.
Fix it up.
And that second explanation was from the Eitz Yosef. Okay. Back in the Gemara. Letter Chaf. Ula Rame. Ula presented a contradiction in Psukim. Ktiv, it says in Yishaya Chaf Hei Pasiches, Bila Hamavet Lanetzach, Macha Hashem Elokim Dimami Al Kol Panim. He will literally swallow up, you know, abolish death forever, and Hashem Elohim will wipe tears, the tear off every face. The pasuk you sometimes hear at the end of a hesped, you hear the person giving the hesped mumbling something. This is one of the psukim that is commonly declared or mumbled at the end of a hesped. Okay, so death will be wiped out forever, and Hashem Elohim will wipe tear off every face. Uchtiv, that implies there will be no death in the future. Uchtiv, another pasuk says, Yishaya Samchei Chaf, Ki Anar Ben Mea Shana Yamut, the lad will die at the age of 100. Lo Yem Yisham Od Ul Yamim. There will be no more young people. Lo kasha, the young person will be gone, I guess. So there will be death or there won't be death. Person will die when he's 100, or there won't be death. Now, why does it say a lad will die? In other words, when somebody dies at 100, people will say, "Oh, he was so young," but you see, people will die. So which is it? So Gemara says, "Lo kasha kan b'Yisrael kan b'Avdei Kochavim." For Israel, for Jews, there will be no death, and for Goyim, they'll die when they're 100. So the Gemara says, "V'Avdei Kochavim my ba'u hatam." What are Goyim doing there? Now, according to Rashi, where is there? According to Rashi, it means after Tchias HaMesim. According to Rashi, the Gemara is saying, after Tchias HaMesim, there will be no more death. But the other pasuk says, they'll die. When somebody dies at the age of 100, people will say, "Oh, it's so sad, he was so young." Okay. So the Gemara is answering that after Tchias HaMesim, Jews will not die anymore. Goyim will die when they're young. So, what are Goyim doing there? So, the Gemara answers, Hanach Tichtivu, Bamdu Zarim, Ve'ra'ut Sonchem, Uvnei Nechar, Ikarichem, Ve'chormichem. Pasuk says that strangers will get up and shepherd your flocks, and the sons of strangers will be your farmers and your vineyard keepers. So, that will be the Goyim. The Goyim will be there. We will sit and learn Torah. And the Goyim will provide our physical needs. According to this Gemara, if it's talking about after Tchias HaMesim, then that is a proof to those who say that there are physical needs after Tchias HaMesim. We've seen different opinions about that. Will there be physical existence? Will there be physical needs? Okay. This goes together with the very first Gemara that we saw, that the first hint to Tchias HaMesim in the Torah was from the fact that Aaron will receive truma. Well, if Aaron's going to receive truma, he must presumably will eat the truma. Otherwise, what's the point of giving him truma? So apparently, there will be physical needs. So that's the most straightforward way of learning this Gemara. It's talking about after Tchias HaMesim, and there will be physical needs.
Isn't there an implication that even the Goyim are going to live a long time if they're dying?
Yes, it says. Yes, and we'll talk about that in a second. Okay, so it says somebody dies at 100, and Mara says somebody Goyim, people are going to say, "Oh, that's so sad. He died so young." So why is that? Okay.
So we're saying that people will be resurrected, even the Rosh Hashanah. They'll see. This is one concept. They'll see all that's going on, they will be excluded from. But they'll like lie down again. They'll come up, get a look, and they'll go down.
That was the implication of interpretation of the Eitz Yosef of the previous Gemara. And that was Reish Lakish. This is Ula. They don't have to agree with each other. These are separate. I mean, these are
you can say that's the Rishayim. These are the non-Rishayim.
Right, right. These two statements stand completely alone. Reish Lakish was talking about, Reish Lakish said, all Reish Lakish said was that people will get up with their blemishes and will be healed. Eitz Yosef suggested a reason for it so that the cynics will not say somebody else, implying there will be cynics there, which could mean people who get up or could mean people who are alive when Chesed Meisim happens. So that was, there are multiple ways to understand that. That's separate from the next Gemara is a different person, Ula. And Ula is talking about a different issue. According to Rashi, Ula is also talking about after Chesed Meisim. It's not the only way to understand it, as we'll see. Okay. And what he's saying there is that there will be Jews and there will be Goyim. Doesn't say necessarily that these are Goyim who got up in Chesed Meisim. Could be these are Goyim who are alive when Chesed Meisim happened. Also. Okay. But there will be Goyim there to, while we're engaged in spiritual efforts, they will take care of our physical needs. Many number of years ago, 2008, I think, because my car's in 2008. So I took my car to the mechanic, and he took it out. I don't know if he was test driving it or taking it for a joyride, but he totaled my car. And it was right before Rosh Hashanah, and I got very nice check from the insurance company, bought it, paid substantial part of a new car. And I was wondering, before Rosh Hashanah, I was thinking, so what? What is this telling me? So I discussed it with one of my rebbeim. He said, "Not telling you anything. A goy did your work for you. You got a new car. I wasn't in the accident. I wasn't at any time in danger. A goy smashed my car. I got a new car out of it. So it was a gift. A goy did my work for me." So to speak.
That's something. Everything.
But it's good. It's something good. Yeah. It's good. It's not. It wasn't. He felt. I don't have to look at what I need to do tshuva for or anything. Mm-hmm. God gave me a gift. Goy smashed my car. I got a new car. So, lahavdil, or not lahavdil. It's the same concept. The goyim in the future. The goyim will do our work for us, mm-hmm. taking care of our sheep, and so to speak. Okay.
So you weren't aggravated right now.
I was aggravated until my Rebbe explained to me what a gift it was. Okay. Okay, why 100 years old? So, the Marsha says, the Marsha alludes to this, Toras Chaim expands on this more. We know Rashi says Parshas Noach that before Matan Torah, the age at which God punished people for averus was 100. Today, the age at which God punishes for averus is 20. Before Matan Torah, it was 100. That's why Noach did not have children until 99 years before the Mabul, so that his children, if they were Rishayim, would not be old enough to be punished and could be saved from the Mabul. So now the Toras Chaim says there are two reasons why people die. Either people die because they did an Avera, or people die because their days are up. So the says that before Matan Torah, if a person died from an Avera, could not die before he was 100. But some people died simply because death was decreed on the world because of the sin of Adam Rishon. And they might die before 100. Person was born, God gave him 97 years. He would die when he was 97 without an Avera. That was just his time. He had 97 years. Based on the number of years that God decreed that he would have. So the... Now, after Tchias HaMesim, or at the time of Tchias HaMesim, the decree against, because of Adam Rishon's sin, will be abolished. Things will go back to the way they were before the sin of Adam Rishon. Before the sin of Adam Rishon, a person couldn't die just because he was given 97 years. Life was forever. A person could only die because of an avera. So, therefore, nobody will ever die before 100, because the only way a person could die before 100 is if that was his decreed lifespan. But before the sin of Adam Rishon, there was no such thing as a decreed lifespan. Everything just depended on mitzvos and averos.
What do you mean before Adam?
Before Adam sinned. Before Adam sinned. The way the world was supposed to be before Adam sinned, nobody would die before 100, because only a person's sin could cause a person to die, not the decreed lifespan. There was no decreed lifespan. Everybody was supposed to live forever. So when that situation is repaired and Adam's sin is erased, so once again, the only way a person could die is because of an avera, and Hashem won't judge a person before he's 100. Therefore, the earliest a person could die will be 100. That's how the Toras Chaim explains it.
Why, you could still do an avera at that point?
Seems so, and we saw Sadi Gaon held said that there will still be Yetzer Hara. It will be a lighter Yetzer Hara, just like before the Chet of Adam Rishon, but there will still be a Yetzer Hara. So that is the explanation of Toras Chaim for the significance of 100 years. We're going to come back to this after we read a little more. So, page Mem, next page, letter Chaf Aleph. Rav Chista asked about a contradiction in Psukim. Ktiv, it says in Yeshaya Chaf Dalet, Perek Pasuk Chaf Gimel, the Chafra Halvana Uvosha Chama, Gimalach Hashem Tzakot, the moon will be embarrassed, the sun will be ashamed, because Hashem has ruled. Rashi explains, the light of the sun and the moon will be dim compared to the light of the Shekhinah, and they will be, so to speak, embarrassed. Uchti vayaor alavanak or chama. And another pasuk in Yeshaya, pasuk lamed, perek lamed, pasuk chavav, says that the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. And the light of the sun will be Shivatayim, which Mefarshim explain, based on the Zohar, means 49 times, seven squared. Sheva is seven, Shivatayim is seven squared. Keor Shivatayim, like the light of the 7 days. So one pasuk says that in the future, the sun and the moon will pale in comparison to light of the Shekhinah. Another pasuk says that the sun will be 49 times the light of the 7 days. So lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan li mot Mashiach, kan lo lama ba. One is talking about the days of Mashiach. In the days of Mashiach, the moon will be like the sun, and the sun will be 49 times the light of the 7 days. We'll explain that in a second. And in Olam Haba, when the light of the Shekhinah is completely revealed, then the sun and the moon will pale by comparison. V'lishmuel. Now that implies that the days of Mashiach will be different. Nature will be different than it is today, because the sun and the moon will be that much brighter. But according to Shmuel, Damar ein bein olam hazeh l'imot Mashiach ela shibud malchuyot bevad. According to Shmuel, who says there's no difference between this world and days of Mashiach, except that the goyim will not oppress us. So how could the sun and the moon be brighter? So lo kasha, it's not a kasha. They're both referring to Olam Haba. Days of Mashiach, the sun and the moon will look exactly like they look now. These two psukim are referring to Olam Haba. Kan b'machanei tzadikim, kan b'machanei shechina. In the machanei tzadikim, the camp of the tzadikim, the sun and the moon will be brighter than they are now. And in the camp of the shechina, the sun and the moon will pale in comparison to the light of the shechina.
The camp of the shechina.
Well, I would ask the opposite question. Farshim asked the opposite question, which is, in Olam Haba, everybody will bask in the light of the Shechina. So what is the camp of the Tzadikim? You'd think the camp of the Tzadikim would be in the camp of the Shechina.
So this is implying that the Shechina is outside force. I was listening to Shiva Rabbi Kessin from Hanukkah yesterday, and he was saying that the Shechina is actually internal.
I don't know how you see that here.
I didn't say that.
You said this implies. I don't know. Where do you see that?
Well,
the camp of the Shechina is where the light of the Shechina is revealed. We will refrain from being Kabbalistic here. But I don't know. I don't.
49 times brighter.
No, we didn't. I was intentionally vague. 49 times the light of the 7 days. We'll come back and explain that. So the question is, and I didn't see an answer. I saw Farshim ask the question: what is the camp of the tzaddikim? Presumably, all the tzaddikim will be in the camp of the Shechina. So, what is the camp of the tzaddikim? I saw Farshim ask a question and didn't see an answer. So I don't have an answer. Okay. Now, first of all, forty-nine times the light of the 7 days. So back again, the Taurus Chaim.
We say a similar pasuk in Kiddush Levana, but that's just the way that it was, not the 49 times. Or Levana or Chama or Shemadir.
It's a pasuk. It's quoting this pasuk,
but skipping the middle. It doesn't say Shivatayim.
Okay. So the Taurus Chaim explains that, so what this means, 49 times the light of the 7 days, means that the sun will be 7 cubed, 343 times brighter than it is now.
Okay. So
this is another of those Gemaras that strains our understanding of nature, because we were all taught as kids in elementary school, if the sun would be 1 inch closer to the earth, we would all fry, right? And if it was 1 inch farther from the earth, we'd all freeze to death. So, first of all, I don't know if that's true. That's what they told us in elementary school. But clearly a sun that's 343 times brighter than our sun would probably make us very hot at a minimum. And so, is this to be taken literally? Or is this a mashal for something? I guess we'll find out. Hopefully we will be zocha to find out. But we'll see in a second a significance to the number 343, besides that it's 7 cubed. So if you take all the light, 49 times the light of the 7 days means take all the light of the 7 days. That's 7 times the light of 1 day, the 7 days of creation. Take all the light of the 7 days of creation, which is 7 times the light of 1 day, and multiply that by 49, you get 343 times the light of one day. So that's the calculation. The Torah Chaim says that another interpretation is that our sun today, right, Rashi says that Hashem saw that the world could not withstand the original light, so Hashem diminished the original light. The original light, Torah Chaim says, the original light was seven times brighter than the sun. And the future will be 49 times the original light. So that's another way of getting to 343. He says it's hinted to in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk, the word Ma'orot, the luminaries in Pasuk in Brachos, is missing a Vav. It's telling us that Gematria Vav is six, telling us that we are missing six parts of the light that originally existed. The original light was seven times brighter than our current light, so we only have 1/7. We're missing six parts of the light, and therefore the Vav is missing from the word Me'orot. And the future will be 343 times brighter. How are we going to withstand that? Is that meant to be taken literally? We'll have to wait and see. However, the number 343 is not coincidental. And perhaps this is the beginning of a way to arrive at the idea that this is all a mashal. Maybe not. Sefer Maaseh Rokeach, Rav Elazar Rokeach, who was a Rav in Poland and Amsterdam and died in Eretz Yisrael in 1742, an ancestor of the Belzer Rebbes, I believe. So he quotes a pasuk in Shir Shirim. Excuse me. The pasuk says, Ani yeshena vilibi er. I am sleeping, and my heart is awake. Awake is er, ayin, resh. And the Megala Amukos, Sefer Megala Amukos, says that air, my heart is awake, gematria of air is 270. Of the 613 mitzvos that we have, only 270 apply nowadays in the time of Galus, no Beis Migdash. So I am asleep and my heart is awake. I'm asleep in Galus, but my heart is awake with the 270 mitzvos. 613 minus 270 is... It's early in the morning. I'll do the math for you. 343.
I was going to guess that.
You were going to guess that. I wonder why. Okay. So in the future, when these 343 mitzvos come back, we could... So he doesn't tie it to our Gemara, Maaseh Rokeach, but he ties it to a Gemara that says in the future... Tamidei Chachamim will shine like the sun. So, and we're saying the sun will be 343 times brighter. Why will it be 343 times brighter? We'll have 343 more mitzvahs. The 270 mitzvahs that apply nowadays. And the rest, the other 343 of the 613 mitzvahs that don't apply nowadays. So that's the beginning of a way to suggest that this is a mashal. But we'll wait and see. And if Hashem can make the sun 343 times brighter, He can also make a way to protect us. Not if Hashem can make the sun 343 times brighter, and He can make a way to protect us. So we'll leave it at that. It looked like you have a question.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously many of the concepts we're dealing with here, if you just want to make it literal and say that doesn't work, that's not possible. I think you're kind of missing the point.
Right. Well, that's what we've said many times.
It's a different world.
The two things. One is you're missing the point because Gemara is not meant to be a science book. Also, as you say, it's going to be a different world. And according to Rav Chisda, the term at the days of Mashiach will be a different world. According to Shmuel, the days of Mashiach will be just like our world, except that the goyim won't bother us, and the storm at Olam Haba, and Olam Haba will surely be a different world. Now, so we have this statement of Shmuel that there's no difference between our world and the days of Mashiach, except that the goyim will leave us alone. And we had the statement of Ula that in the future there will be no death, and there will be no Jews will have no death, and goyim, if they die when they're 100, people will say, "Oh, he was so young." So goyim will live long lives. There's a machlokes in the commentaries how the statements of Ula and Shmuel relate to each other. So let me explain that. So first, the Yad Ramah, who we've had before, he's a Rishon, Spain, 1170 to 1244, Mayor Halevi Abulafia. So he says, first, as I think we noted, Ula seems to hold that tzaddikim who are alive when Mashiach comes will never die. They will transition straight from the days of Mashiach into Olam Haba. Because he holds that those who come back in Tchias HaMesim will never die. So those who are alive also will never die. Okay. But according to Shmuel, who said that there's no difference between the days of Mashiach and now, so somebody who has not yet died when Mashiach comes will die after Mashiach comes, because life will go on. Maybe he'll live a lot longer because there will be less stress. But so according to the Yad Ramah, Ula and Shmuel argue with each other. Ula says that there's no death after the days of Mashiach. Okay. Now, truth is, it was only Rashi who said that Ula is talking about after Tchias HaMesim. Okay. The Yad Ramah is learning that Ula is talking about after Mashiach comes, even before Tchias HaMesim. Once Mashiach comes, there will be no death for Jews, and goyim will live forever. Now, Yad Ramah has to learn that way, because according to Yad Ramah, there are no physical needs in Olam Haba. The Gemara here says that the goyim will be shepherding our flocks. If we have flocks, it means we have physical needs. What do we have sheep for if we don't have physical needs? So according to the Yad Ramah, who holds there are no physical needs in Olam Haba, no physical needs after Tchias HaMesim, because the Yad Ramah holds that Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba are synonymous. So this Gemara, which is talking about having flocks, has to be before Tchias HaMesim, has to be talking about the days of Mashiach, and therefore it has to be saying that after Mashiach comes, there will be no death for Jews. Okay? That's how the Yad Ramah is, so to speak, forced to learn because of his definition of Olam Haba and Tchias HaMesim. But Shmuel, who holds that there's no difference between Olam Hazeh and Days of Mashiach, he would have to disagree with Ula, and he would have to hold that there is death after Mashiach comes. Okay. So how would Shmuel resolve the contradiction between these two psukim? One pasuk says there's no death, and one pasuk says when a person dies young, when a person dies when he's 100, people say he was so young. Shmuel has to explain the psukim because they're psukim. So Shmuel would say that both of these psukim are talking about Jews. The pasuk that says if a person dies when he's 100, the people say, oh, he was so young, is talking about after days of Mashiach. In other words, the world will go on exactly as we know it, but because there's no stress, people will live longer. And if somebody dies when he's 100, people say, oh, so sad, he's so young.
Okay. Just getting started.
Huh?
He's just getting started.
Just getting started. Okay? And the pasuk that says there's no death is talking about Olam Haba. That's how Shmuel would have to learn according to the Yad Ramah's understanding. And then the Yad Ramah is the one who asked the question that we asked. Okay. No, I'm sorry. Yad Ramah asked a different question. He says that the Gemara says that in the camp of the Shekhinah, the sun and the moon will pale by comparison. And the Yad Ramah says, isn't it that way now too? Okay. Doesn't the Shekhinah outshine the sun? The answer is yes, but we don't see it. In the future, we will all merit to see it. So that's how the Yad Ramah understands the relationship of Ula and Shmuel. They're arguing. According to Ula, there will be no death for Jews after Mashiach comes. And according to Shmuel, there will be death, but it will be later. The Iyun Yaakov has a different understanding of the relationship of Ula and Shmuel. Based on Gemara and Ksubo stuff, Chesamud Beis, the Gemara says, it's part of a longer Gemara, talking about the proper way to comfort mourners. And Rav Chiya bar Abba was comforting Reish Lakish. And he said, Amar le kum ema milta kineged avilim. Let me say something to the mourners. Patach v'amar, he said, Achenu hamyugaim v'amedukaim, our tired and depressed brethren, medukaim v'evel, who are depressed by mourning. Tznu levavchem lachkor et zot. So turn your heart to think about this. Zoti omedet la'ad. This exists forever. Nativu misheshime breshit. It's a path from the 6 days of creation. Rabim shatu, many drank. Rabim yishtu, many will drink. Kemishtei rishonim, kach mishtei achronim. Like those who drank before, so are those who will drink later. Achenu, our brethren, baal nechamot yinachem etchem. May the master of consolation console you. Baruch menachem avelim. Blessed is the one who comforts mourners. That's what Rav Chiya bar Abba said. Many drank, many will drink. There are those who drank before, and there are those who will drink in the future. Amar Abaye. Abaye said, Ravim shatu lema. It's okay to say many drank before. Ravim yishtu lo lema. Don't say many will drink. Mishteri shonim lema. It's okay to say there were those, the early ones drank. Mishtei achronim lo lema. Don't say the later ones will drink. Why? Damar Rav Shimon Lakish, Pchentan and Mishmei Rav Yossi. Lodam, al yiftach adam, people satan. Person should not open up his mouth to the satan. Don't say, many people died and many people will die. Many mourners drank the cup of mourning before and many mourners will drink the cup of mourning in the future. Don't say things like that. But Rav Chiya bar Abba held it was okay to say that. So what are they arguing about? So the Iyun Yaakov explains that ties it to our Gemara. Okay. Ra'ula said that contradiction in Psukim. One pasuk says that there will be no death. Another pasuk says that will be that a young person will die. Okay. And Gemara answers, one time at Jews, one time at Goyim. So Iyun Yaakov says that Ula's question was only asked according to Shmuel. Shmuel holds there's no difference between this world and the future except the days of Mashiach. There's no difference between this world and days of Mashiach except that the Goyim will leave us alone. Okay. Now the Nevi'im talked about all kinds of wonderful things. Are the Nevi'im talking about the days of Mashiach, or the Nevi'im talking about Olam Haba? According to Shmuel, the days of Mashiach are going to be just pretty much like today. So all the wonderful things the Goyim talked about are not for the days of Mashiach, they're for Olam Haba. Okay. So therefore, there's a kasha, because both psukim are talking about Olam Haba. How would Shmuel explain them? And therefore the Gemara answers, one's talking about Jews, one's talking about Goyim. Okay. So Ula was asking his question according to Shmuel, who holds that the days of Mashiach will be just like today, therefore the Nevi'im clearly are not talking about the days of Mashiach. Okay. So he's understanding that the Yad Ramah was understanding that Shmuel will agree that in days of Mashiach people will live much longer than today. Ion Yaakov is understanding, no, days of Mashiach people won't even live much longer than today. It will be just like today, except the Goyim will leave us alone. Okay. So that's how Ula and Shmuel relate. But Rechia bar Abba, who's the one in the Gemara and Ksubos, who said, people die today, people will die in the future, he holds that all the Nevuos in the Nevi'im are talking about the days of Mashiach. Nevi'im don't even talk about Olam Haba, because we can't even imagine Olam Haba. Okay. So then there's no contradiction between the Pesukim, because the Pasuk that says there will be no death is talking about Olam Haba, and the Pasuk that says there will be death is talking about days of Mashiach. Well, if there will be death in the days of Mashiach, then you're not transgressing Al Tiftach Pela Satan by saying many people died, many people will die, many mourners drank the cup of mourning, many mourners will drink a cup of mourning. It's a fact of life. People died, people will continue to die. Even if Mashiach comes today, people will continue to die. So there's nothing wrong with saying that. It's a fact. Okay? So that's what Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Ula are arguing about. And Abaye said, don't say that. Abaye apparently holds like Ula and Shmuel. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba argues and says, no, there will be death in the days of Mashiach too. Okay. So it's two different ways of understanding the relationship of Ula and Shmuel. As the Rambam says, now the Rambam holds in Perash Mishnayos and Mishnah Torah that, like Shmuel, that the days of Mashiach will be just like today, except the Goyim will leave us alone. And because the Goyim will leave us alone, lots of other things will be good too. There won't be wars. There won't be famine. Very often famine is caused by war. There won't be jealousy. There won't be competition. He includes all of that in, there's no Shibud Malchios, but so it will be a very peaceful, tranquil world. But physically, it will be just like our world. In truth, the Gemaras about the days of Mashiach are later in the Perek, Daf Tzadi Zayin, Tzadi Tzchet, Tzadi Tet. So we will leave this for now and talk about it again. We'll talk about it in greater detail, different viewpoints about what days of Mashiach will be, including Rambam's viewpoint based on Shmuel, when we get later in the Perek. And for now, we will just leave it at that. Unless Mashiach comes today, and then we'll see for ourselves even before we get later in the parak. We won't need it, because if Mashiach comes, then we'll know. Rambam says a lot of these things, when it happens, we'll know, and for now, we just won't know.